Welcome to Sleep Stories, read by Tony Walker. The reason I'm doing a series of sleep stories has at least three origins. I think the most recent one is that independently, both my daughters said that they had been using sleep stories to get them off to sleep, basically, listening to a boring tale that made them doze off. And they assured me that sleep stories were a thing, and when I researched them, I found out that was true. So that's the first reason. The second reason is I have a longer running podcast that's been going 18, 19 months now, called Classic Ghost Stories Podcast. And a number of people who listened to that told me that my voice put them to sleep. And at first I was a little bit put out. But then I thought, well, I think they mean that as a compliment, because they were having trouble sleeping. And in my daily work as a mental health nurse, many of my patients complain that they can't sleep. And I do all sorts of things, including prescribing medication and using psychological techniques to help them to sleep. And I guess the final thing is, I always wanted to be a late night DJ. Being on at 3 a.m. in the morning and talking in a husky voice. So I think I need to drink a bit more whiskey and smoke cigarettes to obtain that voice. So I may not go that far, but hopefully these stories, which are both mine, written by me, and some of them stolen from other places, though I'll tell you which, their sole purpose is to send you to sleep. And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to read them three times. They're only short. And the first time will be at a normal volume, the second time, quieter, and the third time, very quiet. So don't feel you have to listen, because by the time you get to the third time, you'll know the story anyway. And all there really is left to do is to fall asleep. Get ready. Switch off autoplay, because you don't want anything else to start after this. And as a note in this story, the second floor is the European second floor, which is the American third floor. So don't let that shock you out of your doze. The House of Sleep. There's a house at the end of the street. It stands back from the road and trees grow near it. It's a big house, and it's an old house, and it's a house you can feel safe in. This house has 4 stories and 40 rooms. And there's a garden at the front and one at the back too. And the garden at the front has 2 lawns and 6 apple trees. And in the spring, these trees are heavy with white blossom. To the left of the apple trees are 6 cherry trees. And in the spring, these trees are heavy with pink blossom. And sometime in May, if there's a breeze, the petals blow like confetti and carpet the streets in pink and white and white and pink. And the scent is delicious and delightful and subtle. And in the spring, the grass smells fresh and looks emerald green. And when it's been cut, the smell of fresh-cut green grass perfumes the lazy afternoons and the warm evenings. In the summer, the garden at the back of this house has rose bushes in flower, and their sweet scent mixes with honeysuckle and jasmine and eglantine and oxlip, and the hedges are twined with may blossom and blackthorn and the white flowers of the briar rose. but in the winter, the garden sleeps. This house has a gate, and this gate is up two steps of smooth sandstone from the street. This gate is painted black. It's an iron gate, a well-oiled gate, and a gate that opens easily without a squeak. The gravel crunches underfoot as you walk up from the sandstone steps onto the path of pink gravel. We have talked of spring and summer, but now it is winter, and the blackbird watches from the bare branches of the apple tree, bead bright eyes blinking. It has recently rained in the garden, and water puddles onto the stone path. But for now, the shower holds off, and the clouds keep the rain high up, grey like wet cotton wool, waiting, rushing, blowing by. The big wooden door is painted red. It has a brass letterbox, and a brass door handle, and a brass knocker in the shape of a hand. A Victoria creeper climbs the wall, covering half the ancient render. And while the door was postbox red, or London bus red, or post office van red, or red as Marilyn Monroe's lipstick, this long, leafy Victoria creeper vine is as red as old wine. In autumn, it was crimson, vermilion, carmine, red as paint. But now, in winter, color blanching as the year dies away, it's burgundy and claret, fading out like teacher's ink. Yes, it's winter now, winter and cold outside. Best go in. The door pushes open easily, and you enter. The hallway is floored in red and black tiles that look like they've been there since Queen Victoria. They probably have. The hallway is cozy and warm, and you hang your coat and hat and scarf on the hat stand to the left. This stand is fashioned from dark wood and is already hanging with other people's coats and hats, visitors from other times and other places, all arriving in their dreams. Standing at the bottom of the coat stand are even umbrellas in a rectangular wood receptacle designed directly for them to fit nice and snug. You have no umbrella. At the door behind hang curtains of red and gold brocade, and you swish them across to keep out the draft. As you step in, ever so quietly, there's a light on in the room to the right, a gentle electric light, as if from a Tiffany lamp or an old crystal chandelier. As you take another step, a melody fills the air, piano music from a gramophone playing, turning, hissing, revolving around. The keys like chocolate and ice cream and dreams, the notes like butterflies and swallows and bees. There's a mirror on the wall, old and heavy, in a gilt frame. You sneak a peek. Not bad, if you do say so yourself. A bit tired, perhaps. But that's why we're here. Above, a fitting of three lights gives illumination to the hall. It is in the shape of lily flowers. The bulbs glow soft, translucent yellow, made maybe around 1927, perhaps 1928. Ahead, a staircase sweeps up, made of oak, and the stair rug from Persia runs right up the steps, held in place by brass runners. The rug is clean, newly hoovered, and the brass runners are polished bright. A friend sits in the room by a fire, and you call to her that you're going to bed because you're tired. She doesn't reply because she, like everyone else in this house, is asleep. And so, you step up the stairs. You're weary and it's time for bed. It's early, but even so, you deserve the chance to relax. You deserve the opportunity to sleep. Sleep sounds good. It's time to sleep. Yes, sleep. That's a lovely idea. Nice to think about that. You mount the stairs one by one and so arrive at the first landing with its rich wallpaper and rows of paintings that are scenes of seascapes and landscapes and deer and dogs. Your bedroom is not on this floor, but you hear the snores and sighs of those already sleeping. This is a house of dreams. Getting wearier and tireder and sleepier, you mount the stairs to the second floor. Here is where you sleep. This is your very own room in the house of dreams. And here is the door to your room, polished with beeswax, which brings out the patina and shapes in the wood. And you reach out with your gleaming key, taking the handle, turning the key smoothly, and pushing the polished door open. And here, in this lovely room, are all your familiar things. The bed has a duvet of deep blue with stars and comets, meteors and planets embroidered in gold and silver. Your pillows are deep and downy. Your bed is high, and comfort calls out to you. Time to sleep. And dressing and folding your clothes in a neat pile, you pull on your pajamas made of Chinese silk, a little luxury, bought for you as a gift from someone who loves you very much. And everyone loves you very much. You lift the duvet and slide your legs into bed. Someone has kindly warmed it with a hot water bottle. Maybe your grandma. Settling down, you switch off the bedside light and pull up the cover. And this cover is warm and soft and wraps you in comfort. That's nice. And the night settles. And the house relaxes, and the world outside goes quiet. A minute later, your nightlight glows, throwing golden stars across the ceiling, describing constellations, Orion and Sagittarius and the Great Bear. And the stars bring dreams of faraway places. The room is dark and you are warm, and outside it has started to rain, and you listen to the rain pattering on the window panes, the wind whistling, the rain coming down, and the curtains keep the weather outside, and you snuggle nice and warm, and the golden showers of stars turn like handfuls of diamond and topaz and quartz thrown across the ceiling, whirling slowly as the rain falls outside and the wind blows, spinning quietly like the universe, turning smoothly like the night. Your chest rises and your mind drifts. And your mind drifts. And your mind drifts. The rain falls. The lights turn. The wind blows. And you are warm. And your chest rises. And your mind drifts. The rain falls. The lights turn. The wind blows. You are warm, your chest rises, and your mind drifts, and your mind drifts, and your mind drifts. Sleep safely. Sleep quietly. Morning light will wake you with the birds. But for now, sleep. 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 There's a house at the end of the street. It stands back from the road, and trees grow near it. It's a big house, and it's an old house, and it's a house you can feel safe in. This house has 4 stories and 40 rooms, and there's a garden at the front, and one at the back too. And the garden at the front has 2 lawns and 6 apple trees. And in the spring, these trees are heavy with white blossom. To the left of the apple trees are 6 cherry trees. And in the spring, these trees are heavy with pink blossom. And sometime in May, if there's a breeze, the petals blow like confetti and carpet the street in pink and white and white and pink, and the scent is delicious and delightful and subtle. And in the spring, the grass smells fresh and looks emerald green, and when it's been cut, the smell of fresh cut green grass perfumes the lazy afternoons and the warm evenings. In the summer, the garden at the back of this house has rose bushes in flower, and their sweet scent mixes with honeysuckle and jasmine and eglantine and oxlip, and the hedges are twined with may blossom and blackthorn and the white flowers of the briar rose. But in the winter, the garden sleeps. This house has a gate, and this gate is up 2 steps of smooth sandstone from the street. This gate is painted black. It's an iron gate, a well-oiled gate, and a gate that opens easily without a squeak. The gravel crunches underfoot as you walk up from the sandstone steps onto the path of pink gravel. We have talked of spring and summer, but now it is winter. And the blackbird watches from the bare branches of the apple tree, bead-bright eyes blinking. It has recently rained in the garden, and water puddles onto the stone path. But for now, the shower holds off, and the clouds keep the rain high up, grey like wet cotton wool, waiting, rushing, blowing by. The big wooden door is painted red. It has a brass letterbox and a brass door handle and a brass knocker in the shape of a hand. A Victoria creeper climbs the wall, covering half the ancient render. And while the door was postbox red or London bus red or post office van red or red as Marilyn Monroe's lipstick, this long leafy Victoria creeper vine is as red as old wine. In autumn, it was crimson, vermilion, carmine, red as paint. But now, in winter, color blanching as the year dies away, it's burgundy and claret, fading out like teacher's ink. Yes, It's winter now. Winter. And cold outside. Best go in. The door pushes open easily, and you enter. The hallway is floored in red and black tiles that look like they've been there since Queen Victoria. They probably have. The hallway is cozy and warm. And you hang your coat and hat and scarf on the hat stand to the left. This stand is fashioned from dark wood and is already hanging with other people's coats and hats, visitors from other times and other places, all arriving in their dreams. Standing at the bottom of the coat stand are even umbrellas in a rectangular wooden receptacle, designed directly for them to fit nice and snug. You have no umbrella. At the door behind hang curtains of red and gold brocade, and you swish them across to keep out the draft as you step in ever so quietly. There's a light on in the room to the right, a gentle electric light, as if from a Tiffany lamp or an old crystal chandelier. As you take another step, a melody fills the air, piano music from a gramophone playing, turning, hissing, revolving. The chords like chocolate and ice cream and dreams. The notes like butterflies and swallows and bees. There's a mirror on the wall, old and heavy, in a gilt frame. You sneak a peek. Not bad, if you do say so yourself. A bit tired, perhaps, but that's why you're here. Above, a fitting of three lights gives illumination to the hall. It's in the shape of lily flowers. The bulbs glow soft, translucent yellow, made maybe around 1927, perhaps 1928. Ahead, a staircase sweeps up, made of oak. And a stair rug from Persia runs right up the steps, held in place by brass runners. The rug is clean, newly hoovered, and the brass runners are polished bright. A friend sits in a room by a fire, and you call to her that you're going to bed because you're tired. She doesn't reply, because she, like everyone else in this house, he's asleep. And so you step up the stairs. You're weary, and it's time for bed. It's early, but even so, you deserve the chance to relax. You deserve the opportunity to sleep. Sleep sounds good. It's time to sleep. Yes, sleep. That's a lovely idea. Nice to think about that. You mount the stairs one by one and so arrive at the first landing with its rich wallpaper and rows of paintings that are scenes of seascapes and landscapes and deer and dogs. Your bedroom is not on this floor. But you hear the snores and sighs of those already sleeping. This is a house of dreams. Getting wearier and tireder and sleepier, you mount the stairs to the second floor. Here is where you sleep. This is your very own room in the house of dreams. And here is the door to your room. Polished with beeswax, which brings out the patina and shapes in the wood, and you reach out with your gleaming key, taking the handle, turning the key smoothly and pushing the polished door open. And here, in this lovely room, are all your familiar things. The bed has a duvet of deep blue, with stars and comets, meteors and planets embroidered in gold and silver. Your pillows are deep and downy, your bed is high, and comfort calls out to you. Time to sleep. Undressing and folding your clothes in a neat pile, you pull on your pajamas, made of Chinese silk, a little luxury bought for you as a gift from someone who loves you very much. And everyone loves you very much. You lift the duvet and slide your legs into bed. Someone has kindly warmed it with a hot water bottle. Maybe your grandma. Settling down, you switch off the bedside light and pull up the cover. And this cover is warm and soft and wraps you in comfort. That's nice. And the night settles. And the house relaxes. And the world outside goes quiet. A minute later, your nightlight glows, throwing golden stars across the ceiling, describing constellations, Orion and Sagittarius and the Great Bear. And the stars bring dreams of faraway places. The room is dark, and you are warm, and outside it has started to rain, and you listen to the rain pattering on the window panes. The wind whistling, the rain coming down, and the curtains keep the weather outside, and you snuggle nice and warm, and the golden showers of stars turn. Like handfuls of diamonds and topaz and quartz thrown across the ceiling, whirling slowly as the rain falls outside and the wind blows. Spinning quietly like the universe, turning smoothly like the night. Your chest rises and your mind drifts. And your mind drifts. And your mind drifts. The rain falls, the lights turn, the winds blow, and you're warm. And your chest rises, and your mind drifts. The rain falls, the lights turn, the wind blows, and you are warm, and your chest rises, and your mind drifts. The rain falls, the lights turn, the wind blows. You're warm. Your chest rises and your mind drifts. And your mind drifts and your mind drifts away. Sleep safely. Sleep quietly. Morning light will wake you with the birds. But for now, sleep. 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 There's a house at the end of the street. It stands back from the road. And trees grow near it. It's a big house. It's an old house. And it's a house you can feel safe in. This house has 4 stories and 40 rooms. And there's a garden at the front and one at the back too. And the garden at the front has 2 lawns and 6 apple trees. And in the spring, these trees are heavy with white blossoms. To the left of the apple trees are 6 cherry trees. And in the spring, These trees are heavy with pink blossoms, and sometimes, in May, if there's a breeze, the petals blow like confetti, and carpet the street in pink and white and pink, and the scent is delicious and delightful and subtle. And in the spring, the grass smells fresh and looks emerald green. And when it's been cut, the smell of fresh cut green grass perfumes the lazy afternoons and the warm evenings. In the summer, the garden at the back of this house has rose bushes in flower, and their sweet scent mixes with honeysuckle and jasmine and eglantine and oxlip. And the hedges are twined with may blossom and blackthorn and the white flowers of the briar rose. But in the winter, the garden sleeps. This house has a gate, and this gate is up two steps of smooth sandstone from the street. This gate is painted black. It's an iron gate, a well-oiled gate, and a gate that opens easily without a squeak. Gravel crunches underfoot as you walk up from the sandstone steps onto the path of pink gravel. We have talked of spring and summer, but now it's winter, and a blackbird watches from the bare branches of the apple tree, bead bright eyes blinking. It has recently rained in the garden, and water puddles onto the stone path, but for now, the shower holds off, and the clouds keep the rain high up, grey like wet cotton wool, waiting, rushing, blowing by. The big wooden door is painted red. It has a brass letterbox, and a brass door handle, and a brass knocker in the shape of a hand. A Victoria creeper climbs the wall, covering half the ancient render, and while the door was postbox red or London bus red or post office van red or red as Marilyn Monroe's lipstick, this long leafy Victoria vine is as red as old wine. In autumn, it was crimson, vermilion, carmine, red as paint. But now in winter, color blanching as the year dies away. It's burgundy and claret, fading out like teacher's ink. Yes, it's winter now. Winter. And cold outside. Let's go in. The door pushes open easily, and you enter. The hallway is floored in red and black tiles that look like they've been there since Queen Victoria, and probably have. The hallway is cozy and warm, and you hang your coat and hat and scarf on the hat stand to the left. This stand is fashioned from dark wood and is already hanging with other people's coats and hats. Visitors from other times and other places, all arriving in their dreams. Standing at the bottom of the coat stand are umbrellas in a rectangular wood receptacle designed directly for them to fit, nice and snug. You have no umbrella. At the door behind hang curtains of red and gold brocade, and you swish them across to keep out the draught. As you step in, ever so quietly, there's a light on in the room to the left. A gentle electric light, as if from a Tiffany lamp or an old crystal chandelier. As you take another step, a melody fills the air. Piano music from a gramophone, playing, turning, hissing, revolving. The chords climb like chocolate and ice cream and dreams. The notes ring like butterflies and swallows and bees. There's a mirror on the wall, old and heavy in a gilt frame. You sneak a peek, not bad, if you do say so yourself. A bit tired, perhaps. That's why you're here. Above, a fitting of three lights gives illumination to the hall. It's in the shape of lily flowers. The bulbs glow soft, translucent yellow, made maybe around 1927, perhaps 1928. Ahead, a staircase sweeps up, made of oak, and a stair rug from Persia. Runs right up the steps, held in place by brass runners. The rug is clean, newly hoovered, and the brass runners are polished bright. A friend sits in the room by a fire, and you call to her that you're going to bed because you're tired. She doesn't reply because she, like everyone else in this house, is asleep. And so you step up the stairs, you're weary, and it's time for bed. It's early, but even so, you deserve the chance to relax. You deserve the opportunity to sleep. Sleep sounds good. It's time to sleep. Yes, sleep. That's a lovely idea. Nice to think about that. You mount the stairs one by one, and so arrive at the first landing with its rich wallpaper and rows of paintings that are scenes of seascapes and landscape. Deer and dogs. Your bedroom's not on this floor, but you hear the sounds and snores and sighs of those already sleeping. This is a house of dreams. Getting wearier and tireder and sleepier, you mount the stairs to the second floor. Here's where you sleep. This is your very own room in the house of dreams. And here's the door to your room, polished with beeswax, which brings out the patina and shapes in the wood. And you reach out with your gleaming key, taking the handle, turning the key smoothly, and pushing the polished door open. And here, in this lovely room, are all your familiar things. The bed has a duvet of deep blue with stars and comets, meteors and planets, embroidered in gold and silver. Your pillows are deep and downy. Your bed is high, and comfort calls out to you. Time to sleep. Dressing and folding your clothes in a neat pile, you pull on your pajamas made of Chinese silk, a little luxury bought for you as a gift from someone who loves you very much. And everyone loves you very much. You lift the duvet and slide your legs into bed. Someone has kindly warmed it with a hot water bottle. Maybe your grandma. Settling down, you switch off the bedside light and pull up the cover. And this cover is warm and soft and wraps you in comfort. That's nice. And the night settles. And the house relaxes. And the world outside goes quiet. A minute later, your nightlight glows, throwing golden stars across the ceiling, describing constellations, Orion and Sagittarius, and the Great Bear, and the stars bring dreams of faraway places. The room is dark, and you are warm, and outside it has started to rain, and you listen to the rain pattering on the window panes, the wind whistling, the rain coming down, and the curtains keep the weather outside, and you snuggle nice and warm. And the golden showers of stars turn like handfuls of diamonds and topaz and quartz thrown across the ceiling, whirling slowly as the rain falls outside and the wind blows, spinning quietly like the universe, turning smoothly like the night. your chest rises, and your mind drifts, and your mind drifts, and your mind drifts. The rain falls, the lights turn, the wind blows, and you are warm, and your chest rises. And your mind drifts. The rain falls. The lights turn. The wind blows. You are warm. Your chest rises. And your mind. And your mind drifts. Sleep safely. Sleep quietly.